From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Since the pandemic began, a lot of people have been avoiding crowds by relying on delivery services for takeout and groceries. And one of the most popular grocery delivery services is a multi-billion dollar company called Instacart. Headquartered in San Francisco, the company takes orders through an app and has thousands of shoppers who fulfill them at stores across the country. A year ago, right before the COVID-19 pandemic hit, a group of Instacart employees in Skokie, Illinois, voted to unionize with United Food and Commercial Workers Local 1546. That chapter of the UFCW represents around 25,000 workers in Illinois and Northwest Indiana across a variety of industries, including grocery stores and pharmacies. The employees in Skokie made history by becoming the first Instacart workers to win a certified union election in the U.S. But as they were negotiating their first contract, Instacart announced a series of layoffs affecting nearly 2,000 of its in-store shoppers, including the 10 who had voted to unionize. Earlier this week, I spoke with one of those workers, Noelle Marion. She couldn't join us today because she's scheduled to receive her COVID-19 vaccine right now. But she did make time for us Tuesday evening. Here now is that conversation. Noelle Marion, welcome to the 21st. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Can you tell us about your job as an in-store shopper with Instacart? What does that entail?
So we work through an app, and customers go in the app and they order groceries. They select what store they want them shopped at. I happen to work at the Mariano's grocery store in Skokie, Illinois. So and the orders will come through, and then they get downloaded to the phone. And I go in and I would shop the order. So I notify customer like, hi, Susie Q customer. My name's Noelle. I'm shopping your order today. And then I'll interact with them while I'm shopping. If I need to make replacements for something, if I need to refund something, if something's not available, if I have a question on their order. When we're all done, I go and I check the order out. I bag it and I stage it, and it gets picked up by an Instacart full service shopper who will then deliver it to the customer.
Yeah, this is where if the customer really wants that Prairie Farms skim milk, but they only have the store brand or something like that, that's what your interaction is, right? You're saying,
correct.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Okay. How were you introduced to the idea of unionizing as an Instacart worker?
It was one of the gentlemen that we worked with, one of his previous jobs. They were a union. I believe it was some form of Teamsters. I'm not 100% sure.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just things going on. The metrics we had to keep, which kind of kept you running around the store like you were playing supermarket sweeps for speed. Everything was speed and timing. And then there's no benefits to the job. We accrue sick time, but that's it. No vacation time, no like death, funeral leave, no jury duty, that kind of thing. And we just watched people kind of be treated poorly when they had circumstances come up where they had to cancel a shift with short notice. And he presented the idea and we all were kind of interested. After we had a meeting with the gentleman from the union who came to talk to us, we were all a little more interested. There were 15 of us at the time, and there was 10 or so people who were pretty interested. Once we went ahead and we voted for the union, what happened after that is then for the next, it was about 2 weeks in between the time the union petition went in and we actually did the vote that to see if we were going to unionize or not. There's the petition that goes to the company. It was like 2 weeks. During that particular period of time, there were all kinds of people from Instacart corporate came in. And basically they were trying to talk us out of it. It was a lot of union bad, Instacart good conversations. They talked about just everything the union couldn't do for you and how bad collective bargaining was. And they just tried to make it seem like something that wasn't pleasant the more they tried to make it seem like it was unpleasant. I think we kind of bonded together as a team of this makes it more interesting, because if there's all these people who come in and are telling us it's bad, but we've never seen any of these people before, we've never talked to these people before, they're making all kinds of promises, maybe there's something to this.
So what can you talk a little bit more about what you and your coworkers were hoping to negotiate from Instacart in a contract before you ended up being let go? I mean, you mentioned the supermarket sweep aspect. I don't think people maybe appreciate what the conditions were like.
So everything, like I said, was based off speed. The more you shop.
Does that mean your pay is based off of how fast you get around the store?
So as an in-store shopper, we get paid by the hour. So we don't get paid any kind of, there's no tip structure or bonus structure for that.
Okay.
So we're paid strictly by the hour. So I work really, really fast, and I do 100 orders in an hour, or I do 2 orders in an hour, I get paid the same. Yet the longer I'm working and the more orders I do, the less time you are allotted per item for an order. So as a veteran shopper doing over 400 orders, I'm expected to get every item from the shelf through checkout and in bagging and staging at 72 seconds per each item was the expectation. So if you have a 2-item order, you have 144 seconds to get both items, get through checkout, and get to the staging area, get the bags tagged, and be ready for your next order.
A little under 2.5 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, generally speaking, if you have a smaller order, it was invariable that each item was on opposite ends of the store. They were never next to each other. They were always on opposite ends of the store. So
yeah, it's dairy and produce, right?
Right. You
never
got
two
it.
Types of cereal.
So the way it worked, so that was one thing. The other things is if I have to make a replacement in an order or I have to refund it for whatever reason, if the customer doesn't approve those items that I'm replacing or refunding through the app, it actually counts against me as the shopper. It affects me negatively. So my metrics are impacted if the customer is unresponsive.
I'm just curious, if you say you're paid hourly, how do the metrics play into your employment status? Do you get enough points off and then you lose work, or?
So the better your feedback and the better your metrics, the more availability there is for hours.
I see. So it directly affects how much you get to work based on your scores. Okay.
Yes.
And so how are you hoping to have that? What were you and your coworkers hoping to have the company change through unionization then?
Well, we understand that. We always understood speed was important. But maybe make it something that was more manageable or maintainable. The problem with the 72 second per item was it wasn't maintainable for every order for every shift that you worked. You could hit it every once in a while, but not for every shift. So to come up with something that was more maintainable, to take off the fact that if a customer doesn't respond, it's not my fault as the shopper. So those things shouldn't count against me. Some of the other things we were looking for came from actual benefits. Increase of pay would have been nice, but it was more like a vacation pay. If there was jury duty leave, funeral leave, if you had a death in the family, additionally health insurance.
Instacart has said that it decided to end the program where there are just in-store shoppers, which you were doing. Now it's people can either do the full job where they pick the groceries and then get them to the customer, or they can try and join the store where they were working or another store to be a sort of in-store person who fulfills the orders. Is that an opportunity you've decided to pursue? Or can I ask you, where are you after Instacart made this decision to let so many people go?
So I made the decision and I went, I have been in this particular store for going on 2 years. So you develop relationships with these people. You work anywhere from, 20 to 30 hours a week. You see these people quite frequently. So I told them what was happening. Some of them were aware. One of the management people was aware, some of them weren't. And I talked about, would they be interested in hiring me? And so I secured a position for myself.
Yeah, well, good for you. I'm glad to hear that. Do you feel like your push to unionize had something to do with the reason you were let go from Instacart?
I think it's a contributing factor. My opinion is, I think Instacart is a tech company, and I think they wrote an app and software, and I think what they did was they developed the app and the software. They used all the metrics to make their app and software better, and they are now going to sell it to these grocery stores so grocery stores can implement and use it themselves. I don't think Instacart's end game was to have people as W-2 employees doing the ISS work that they had to manage and maintain. I don't think they were prepared for that.
They didn't want to be a human resource company.
I don't think that they did. I think that what their intent was to get information on the app, make the app better and sell it. It's very similar to what they did to Aldi over the summer. I think it was in July. They did a very similar thing in Aldi stores.
The last thing I want to ask you about is, you've been an in-store shopper during a pandemic. I wonder, what has that been like for you? Do you feel safe with the safety protocols?
It was pretty scary in the beginning. There were several days I came to work and I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? Why am I here? Especially there was a while shelves were empty. People who were customers through the app were pretty angry because they couldn't get things that they needed at home. For whatever reason, they couldn't or didn't want to or shouldn't be out in the grocery store. But they'd be mad at me, yelling at me that I couldn't get them toilet paper. it's like, well, there isn't any. I don't know where you want me. There's no toilet paper tree back here. I can't go pick it. There's no special warehouse. There's not much I can do. I don't have toilet paper at home either. I don't know what to tell you. But then some people were really nice and they were like, you're doing the best you can. Thank you. But we would have to, me and other team members, you would be sending, pictures of the empty shelves when people were yelling at you that they couldn't get soup. Well, this whole, 20-foot section, that's all different kinds of soup normally is completely empty. I don't know what you want me to do. I can't make it magically appear. It doesn't work that way. But then there were the people who actually said, thank you. You tried. So that made it worth it. I think now that we've gone through everything and we've gotten to this point, Instacart, as well as other companies, have gotten better about PPE. We understand a little bit more about how to protect ourselves. I have more comfort level. I come out and I go to the grocery store and I go home. I'm still really iffy about going out places. I'm not comfortable, going to the mall. I find it really weird now. It's uncomfortable because I don't know how they clean it. I just take all the extra precautions. I have people in my house who are in the high risk area because of their age, and they have immunosuppressed diseases that cause issues. So there's always the fear of, you know, I think I protect myself, but I need to make sure that I'm not bringing anything home to them.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to share your story with us today on the 21st.
Well, thank you for helping me get the story out there. It's, like I said, it's not a good thing that it's happening, but I like more people being aware of it.
Noel Marion was an Instacart in-store shopper in Skokie. She was one of 10 people who voted to unionize, but was later part of a mass layoff by the company. Coming up after the break, we'll have a statement from Instacart on the workers in Skokie and have a broader conversation about gig workers and unionization. This is The 21st. Stay with us.
Support for The 21st comes from Christie Clinic. Christie Clinic, providing health care to the community for more than 90 years. Local procedures, providers, specialties, and choice. Christie Clinic is focused on caring for the community.
Welcome back to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just tuning in, we just played an interview we recorded earlier this week with Noel Marion, who is an in-store shopper for Instacart, the grocery store delivery app. She was one of 10 Instacart workers in Skokie, Illinois, who had voted to unionize through the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 1546 in Chicago. Since then, however, Instacart has shifted to a new work model and laid off nearly 2,000 in-store shoppers across the U.S., including the 10 who had voted to unionize in Skokie. It's sparking a nationwide conversation about protections for gig economy workers. These are Uber and Lyft drivers, people who deliver our groceries or watch our pets, often hired through the click of an app. Workers say these contract positions can provide flexible hours and scheduling, but lack some of the employment protections and benefits that come with permanent jobs, especially during a pandemic. I'd like to welcome two voices into the conversation now. Jeff Weiss is Special Assistant to the President of the UFCW Local 1546 in Chicago, which represents workers at grocery stores, drug stores, meat cutting, processing, and packing, among other jobs. Jeff, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you very much.
I'd also like to welcome Stephanie Furtado, who's a lecturer in the Labor Education Program at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. She researches labor history and African-American working class and social movement history. Stephanie, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, we want to know, have you taken on a job as a contract worker during the pandemic? Have you considered joining a union? Or maybe you've just hired a contract worker during the pandemic. Grocery shopping by app has become much more popular than it had ever been before. You can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. The number again is 800-222-9455. So before we get into our conversation, Jeff and Stephanie, I want to know if you have any reactions to the conversation you were listening in, my conversation with Noel Marion. Jeff, I'm going to begin with you.
Yeah, I think Noel brought up a very good point that workers unionize not just for higher wages. I think that's the perception of the public, but it's more about the working conditions. You know, she talked about the speed of requirements, and really what she and so many others are doing is trying to get a voice on the job with the union and just to make their lives better with fair working conditions like vacation pay and paid leave that really all workers deserve. So I thought she brought up a very good point about that.
And Stephanie, I wonder if you have a reaction to what you heard from Noel.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just agree with Jeff that what Noel talked about was you know, over here at the University of Illinois Labor Ed Program, we've been doing a lot of programs recently with gig workers. And what she said just echoes what I've heard from many of them. And their biggest concerns are just basic dignity on the job, safety on the job, those kind of concerns. Yeah, pay is important, but also just having a voice on the job and basic workplace safety and just their health and their mental well-being is one of their big issues right now in the gig economy.
I want to mention before we get too far into our conversation that we did reach out to Instacart, invited them to come on the show to talk about the layoffs or respond to Noel. They couldn't make it. They did send us a statement, though. It says in part, quote, we'll now be offering two distinct Instacart pickup models, partner pick and Instacart in-store shopper pick, as well as testing in select markets a new feature that enables full service shoppers to fulfill pickup orders. As a result of some grocers transitioning to a partner pick model, we'll be winding down our in-store operations at select retail locations over the coming months. We know this is an incredibly challenging time for many as we move through the COVID-19 crisis, and we're doing everything we can to support in-store shoppers through this transition. End quote. I think there was a lot of Instacart jargon. If you're not familiar with the company or the app in there, my understanding basically of what they're doing is they used to have people who would only do the sort of in-store part. They would run around the store and gather things, and then somebody else would do the delivery, or people could pick it up, I guess. But now it's going to be full service. One person will do the running around the store, buying things, and then drive them doing the delivery itself. Jeff, I wonder what you make of Instacart's response here.
Well, I mean, I could obviously understand their desire to get more economic gain out of their model. It's just unfortunate because the workers that, at least the ones that we had unionized, they were about ready to get their first contract. And like Noel said, you know, there were some really basic issues that they were hoping for. Now that's unfortunately not going to happen. And, you know, I think it was a contributing factor, but, you know, fortunately for Noel, she is hired by the Marianos, so she will be in a union, but many of the other workers won't and may not even have a job. And it's just a very unfortunate situation during this pandemic to impose on these workers.
Stephanie, can you talk about some of the ways, well, I guess I should ask this. Let me rephrase that. Are gig workers more vulnerable or more uniquely vulnerable than other types of workers? And how, if so?
Yeah, very, very much so. And, you know, what's really interesting about this case with the Instacart workers out of Skokie is they're a very small subset of gig workers that were actually considered employees that were even eligible to unionize. So, you know, right now in the United States, it depends how you calculate gig work, but anywhere from 1 in 3 to 1 in 4 workers are gig workers, these independent contractors. And the deal is, if you're classified like that, a couple years ago in 2019, the National Labor Relations Board basically said you're not eligible to join a union, which is, you know, a sizable part of our workforce population is basically left out of unionization. Now, these workers, because they were paid an hourly wage, right, and were considered employees of Instacart, and so were even eligible in the first place to join a union, but a lot, especially of like the drivers on the different app-based platforms, are not even eligible as it stands right now to engage in basic workplace protections like forming a union.
And has the pandemic changed or led people to be even more vulnerable than they might have been previously?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so there's a couple of things that have been happening. First of all, the state of California recently passed a law that basically said, look, just doing a simple test, these folks are workers. They're employees of these companies. And because of the way that California is set up, they have a system where they take things to propositions with their public, and they took the question, basically, should they be considered workers or should they be considered independent contractors, which would strip them from a lot of basic workplace protections and to the public. And the major companies, Instacart, DoorDash, Lyft, and Uber, spent $200 million as the most expensive public proposition ballot question in the history of the United States. Unions spent about $20 million, but they were outspent, you know, 10 to 1, and it passed. And so those workers were stripped of their rights as workers. And that what happened in California, I think, is a peek at what they're planning to do in other places across the country. So that just recently happened. But then I'll also mention at the U of I where I work, we have a group called the Project for Middle Class Renewal that brings together various economists and scholars to look at issues that are relevant to working people. And we just did a study recently. We just released the study by Bob Bruno and Frank Manzo. And what we found, it's called On Demand Workers Subminimum Wages. And what they found was that because of the pandemic, that driver's tips during the pandemic on these app-based platforms out of Chicago have fallen 63% since the pandemic began. And also there was 110,000 of these registered workers on the different driving platforms at the beginning of the pandemic. And that has dropped all the way down to 67,000 workers. So the pandemic has hit these platforms hard.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce my guests. I'm speaking with Stephanie Furtado, who's a lecturer at the Labor Education Program at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and Jeff Weiss, who is with the UFCW, the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, Local 1546 in Chicago. And Jeff, let me ask you, there's been this decades-long trend that fewer and fewer American workers are unionized. That trend did apparently briefly reverse itself last year because so many non-union workers lost their jobs in the pandemic that the share of American workers who are in unions actually went up. But given these long-term trends, I wonder, what challenges are there in trying to organize workers today, especially gig workers?
Sure. Well, that trend is very cyclical, in very good economic times. You know, workers believe sometimes they don't need a union, and during times like this with a pandemic and issues come to the forefront, unionization is definitely on the minds of everyone. For the gig workers, this was a historic win for the Instacart members here in Chicago, and we're hoping that once we got a first contract, more workers would see the value of unionization. You know, they have to see what other people are getting for them to say, oh, this works. So it was very unfortunate that we didn't get to that point. But, we will continue to try to unionize as many people that want to be unionized in the gig industry if they're afforded the opportunity to unionize.
Jeff, what do you say when workers maybe are reluctant? They hear the company, when there's a drive to unionize, they hear from the union. They also hear a lot from the company. Maybe workers say to you, oh, I'm worried about I'm going to lose the flexibility in my schedule or something like that. What is the pitch you make to them?
Yeah, I think Noel brought this up, is that, the more misinformation they're given about unions, it actually bonds them together because, we just present the facts to them and show them what other union workers are gaining on at their companies. I'll give you an example. We had a meatpacking facility here in Chicago. With the pandemic, we were able to negotiate in their contract this year two extra sick call-in dates with 24-hour notice that, if they woke up and they had a cough, they can call in and just take a sick day for that. And that's because they're with the union. We negotiated that. And if they don't use those two sick days, they get paid for those days at the end of the year. So that's just one example of how, we can add a voice on the job for these members during this pandemic. And I think more of the workers, when they hear these kind of stories and say, yeah, you know what, that sounds fair, I want that at my work location, they'll turn to unions like the UFCW and many others and say, I would like to organize too.
Stephanie, let me ask you, you mentioned the distinction between, or the, I guess, the sort of unusual aspect of this story, that the Instacart workers we've been talking about in Skokie were actually employees of the company. What are some of the obstacles that gig workers, the broader group of gig workers, face when trying to unionize? Do they have the same protections as full-time employees have?
Right, exactly. So this basic idea that they're somehow not employees, right? That they're independent. And this idea that the independent contractor trumps anything about them being actual employees of these companies, and that somehow they're not. And what that means is that they're not eligible, right, under the current interpretation of their status in many cases to join a union. But it also precludes them from really basic things like unemployment. Now, fortunately, during the pandemic, unemployment protection payments have been extended to gig workers. But before the pandemic, that wasn't the case. But also things like, and I mean, I think this should be something that all of us should care about. I mean, what this pandemic has shown us is that the workers that Jeff represents, that the UFCW represents, in things like meatpacking and grocery stores, right? They're at the very front lines of how we feed our families. And we should want these workers, right, to only come to work when they're healthy. I mean, not just for themselves and their families, which I think we should care about, but also for all of us, right? These are frontline workers. And just the idea that a lot of these workers are out there without basic workplace protections, I think should be concerning to all of us. And that this idea that somehow they're not actual workers and that our basic workplace laws don't extend to them. Look, I love the show Supermarket Sweep. Like, I love that show. I watch it every week. But I don't think that that show, running around a grocery store and the kind of thing that Noelle was talking about, having to fill those orders so fast, is a good model, right, for anybody to have to experience going to work every day. Yeah. And the basic right to form and join a union is one of the ways historically that workers have been able to push back against those unrealistic expectations.
Just briefly, Stephanie, we only have about 30 seconds left. This fight we were talking about earlier in California, I've been seeing these ads, Illinoisans for Independent Work. Is a fight like that coming here?
Oh yeah. The companies have already set up a political PAC here, and they're already spending money trying to ensure that the model that they were able to put forward in California is coming to Illinois. That's already on the ground.
All right. Well, we will continue to follow this story. I want to thank my guests. They have been Stephanie Furtado, who's a lecturer in the labor education program at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and Jeff Weiss, special assistant to the president of the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 1546 in Chicago. Thank you both so much for being with me today.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Coming up after a short break, we're going to be talking about the polar vortex. Cold temperatures are forecast for Illinois. That's coming up on the 21st. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. Whether you're just starting out or upgrading to your dream home, Busey can guide you every step of the way, because they know there's no place like home. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.